Okay, so for the next half hour, you will be entertained by my live studio guest, who's in for a bit of a chat and to play some songs for you. So all you need to do, sit back, relax, and listen. Okay, good morning, John.
Morning, Cliff.
And thank you very much for coming into Vintage Radio this morning.
My pleasure, although it is a bit early, isn't
it? It is a bit early, indeed. See, this is normally done on a Thursday night as part of my live radio show. So, for you to come in on a Friday morning, I'm delighted, because otherwise...
Yeah, just don't tell our listeners, I've still got my pyjamas on.
Yeah, well, some of this will go out on Facebook Live, so they'll see you with your Everton pyjamas on.
Yeah. Okay.
Spider-Man, yeah. Yeah, I'm Batman, me, all the way. Batman every time.
Marvel for me.
God, yeah, yeah.
Marvel rather than DC.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for me, my first hero was Batman. Second hero
the TV
was
Batman, or the comic Batman?
The TV Batman.
Spider-Man from, about 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Schoolyard, just reading Spider-Man comics, and then I'll get loads of comics from the newsagents around Tubrook and stuff like that. You know?
Oh, man. No, for me, it was. I can remember playing out and running home to watch Batman. I mean, Batman TV series.
I love Batman as well. Yeah.
Batman TV series for me. And then from there, my next hero was Captain Scarlet. I thought, I wonder, am I indestructible? But obviously not. Although. I've had a few scrapes in my time.
We can test that theory, you know.
I know we can. Anyway, right. So the reason I've asked you in this morning is you've got a brand new album out, which only came out last
1st of June.
1st of June, yeah. So
it's with the band John Jenkins and the James Street Band.
Okay.
It's called Looking for That American Dream. We started recording it last June, over various months. We didn't, have every day from last June. Just every 2 months we had maybe a couple of sessions. So it's been sort of a long time, really, in the bag, sort of trying to finish it off and that. We finished it finally and got it out there, eventually.
Well, I've been lucky enough to have my hands on a copy for the last few weeks now, and I've it's funny because when I first got it, I thought, right, I'll listen to that tonight. Something happened and I didn't get a chance. Right, I'll listen to that. And I managed to put it in the car with me, and I'm listening to bits as I'm driving along, and I thought, right, I've got to sit down and listen to that with headphones, and I've got to listen to it properly, because for me, I listen to it with headphones and I can pick out things then that I don't get while
the
other things are going on.
Yeah,
because you get distracted by things. For me, I like to sit down, headphones on, shut everything else off, and I did that over the weekend, a couple of weeks back, and I picked out some songs there that I think are the best that I've heard from you. I mean, you've written loads of stuff. I mean, your last album, Window Shopping, was a superb album, but I think this one is on the next level.
Yeah,
I really do.
Yeah, it's strange. A lot of people like this one, and I do as well. It's I was having a conversation with Alton from the Folk Doctors on Tuesday in the Corn Market, and he was saying everything seems to fit our own space, the music, every instrument seems to have its own space, which is something I wanted anyway. And obviously, Dennis plays the guitar, Dave does the harmonica and percussion, stuff like that, but I really think Lee on the keyboards has added so much to it, he sort of played within their spaces, kind of thing, so it doesn't sound cluttered at all, I'm really pleased with it,
I mean, the band you've got there are a really good band. I mean, the James Street Band, they all put their own little bit on stamp on it, don't they,
makes it good. You've played Silhouettes there with Megan, and we do live version, which is completely different, we sort of, I'm of the opinion, I know Alan O'Hare's pretty much the same as me, is, you have a song and you can do it in different ways, it's it doesn't have to be, note for note replica of what you've done the first time or what you put out as a release. So, and it makes it more interesting for the singer or the artist or the band or whatever, so they put, Dennis's solo, anyone else's solo. I didn't tell him what to play. And obviously Dave's harmonica. I mean, there's certain bits that you want to keep under wraps,
The
drumming
as,
and bass.
You've got to sort of
say, I need it like this,
Yeah.
Got to be this speed. Needs this harmony. I mean, I sing it the same, but.
And this was all done across town.
Yeah, it was John Lawton. John Lawton's just amazing. He's one of the loveliest people in the world, and also one of the best producers, engineers. You know, he's got this. I always say, it's like a hospital thing. He's got the nicest bedside manner. He can get the best out of you. He can suggest things without sort of you feeling, that you've at conflict with him.
Yeah.
And you can tell him, you don't like his ideas, and he's quite.
He's okay with that.
He's okay with that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he's in demand. I mean,
I
remember going back to when I first met you and you came into the studio while I was at the other place.
Yeah.
I remember then talking about producers and stuff, and then the next band I had in was Seas of Neptune. And they said, "Oh yeah, John Lawton." And I thought, this same name keeps cropping up.
He's the fact that it's very hard to get into Crosstown Studios is really sort of a compliment to John, because people know how good he is.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the reasons this album took so long was because I couldn't get a studio session booked. And I ended up booking so many sessions that I've actually got something still to do.
Yeah.
Because you try and second guess when people are going to be available.
Yeah,
and they're
course.
Not always available to come in and do this bit or that bit.
Yeah.
So
I suppose that must be the difficulty of having that many, members of the band as well. Because everyone does their own thing. I mean, it's everyone's got their own day jobs or their own lives. And then to pull everyone together to say, right, we're doing this then. It's
a common thing.
The same with gigs, I suppose.
Yeah, Alan O'Hare would tell you the same thing about his band, Only Child. Amy and Ian, depending on what format they play, and they'd probably be the same, if they get the strings. Vicky plays with the Mono LPs.
That's right,
like that. It's just trying to get a date that people are all magically available.
I know.
I couldn't do an album launch because
I know.
Because it was just absolutely impossible
to
get a venue and people available on the same time, unless it was like late on in the year. So, that went by the by this year, unfortunately.
Okay. We'll have a chat about gigs and stuff shortly. But if you could fancy playing a song for us, I mean, that's the part of the gig is that the guests come in, they do a bit of a chat, bit of a session, and let people have a listen to what you can do.
Okay. I'll do this one. I was just saying to you, this is an old one. I haven't played this one since September 2016.
Okay.
Might be a bit rusty.
Okay.
But,
so what's this one called?
It's called Looking for That Sign.
Okay.
Each night we kiss goodnight, but something's just not right. There's a distance the words just can't express. There's a fading in your smile. It's been there for some time. It haunts me, and I just don't know what to say. I'm looking for that sign that says you love me. I'm looking for that sign that says you still care. It's not enough. Put my arms around you, because when I do, and when I look at you, you're not there. There's a sadness in the air, something we both share. Feels like I could touch it with my hands, and I can see it in your eyes. It's getting harder to disguise that calmness you just can't hide. I'm looking for that sign that says you love me. I'm looking for that tenderness once was there. It's not enough to put my arms around you, because when I do, even though it's you,
It's a stranger's embrace that I share. All wounds are so hard to heal. They've been cut like a knife to the bone. Is this the way that we really feel? And does it matter anymore? I'm looking for that sign that says you love me. I'm looking for that sign that says you still care. It's not enough to put my arms around you, because when I do, and when I look at you, you're not there.
Absolutely fantastic. John Jenkins, thank you so much. That was Looking for That Sign, and I've got to let you into a secret here.
That's for your mum.
That's for my mum. Yeah, because it's she loves that. So it was really funny because, I mean, I take my mum to hospital appointments and I'll lower the place, and I'll just put it, normally I'll have the Stranglers on or something in the car, and I had your album on, and she went, oh, that's lovely, he's got a lovely voice. And I said, that's John Jenkins, that. So yeah, that's for my mum. So thank you so much for playing that. Lovely songs. And before this album came out, that was my favourite John Jenkins song, believe it or not.
Oh, right.
I know Train, from the album Trains as well. Album,
yeah.
Paris Wife is right up there for me, but yeah, that song, that's the one that does
it. Yeah, as I said, I haven't played it. I played it at my album launch for Trains, and I cocked it all up, you know. But 3 years ago, I probably cocked every song up, you know.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've sort of got a little bit better now, you know.
Well, that sounded great. That sounded really good. So, talking about gigs and stuff, before we talk about gigs that you've got coming up and stuff, you supported Chris Difford. How good is that?
Yeah, it was amazing. And you know, Dave Nixon got up and joined me for a couple of songs, and we were like little school kids, you know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was great. I was a bit cheeky, to be honest, because what happened was, as soon as I heard he was playing, I messaged Neil at Thornough, and I said, you know, is anyone doing a support, because I wouldn't mind having a go myself, you know. And he said, oh, he's on tour with Boohoodian,
isn't it? Yeah, from the Bible.
So I thought, well, great, I'll be coming anyway, you know.
Yeah.
So that was part of the thing. So just never thought about it. And then I got a message from him saying, Boo's not playing with him. Do you want to play? It'd be great if you could play, you know. So it was fabulous, you know.
Brilliant.
And I'm getting a few supports because I'm doing Dean Owens a week today, is it?
Yeah.
Week
the
14th.
Yeah.
And I'm doing, have you heard of Jared Davidson?
No.
He's a country artist. He's on tour now in Europe with Rob Vincent.
Okay.
But apparently he's massive, you know, he's in the States and stuff like that, you know, it's like headlines, big shows. And he's well thought of. And I'm doing it, I got asked to do that. Later in the year, they just got to confirm the date.
Okay.
The Prohibition place.
Oh yeah, it's great in there.
I haven't been there. I keep meaning to go there.
It's
always on a night. People that have been there are always on a night.
I've been to a couple in there. I saw the Mono LPs in there with the strings, with Amy on the strings, and it was brilliant. It's funny because it's probably about the size of this studio and the green room put together. Yeah. It's a little place. I think you only get 50 people in there.
Yeah, you said, yeah. 46 people.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know,
it's intimate, it's different, and the sound in there is great. And say Matt, who does that, he records it all as well. So the good thing is you can have a listen to it back afterwards as well.
And he's also said I could do a solo show as well, which I'm going to do that next year.
Oh, great, great.
Sometime next year, so.
Yeah, it's a good one to play Prohibition. You'll enjoy
it. I mentioned it to a few people. I mentioned it to Alan.
Yeah, two Black Sheep have got a gig lined up there for later on. Yeah, so that'll be good. Looking forward to seeing them there. So your own gigs wise, you've got coming up. That's next week at 81, isn't it?
A week today. Yeah.
Yeah, 81 Ranger Street.
Yeah, I'm half looking forward to it, and I'm half not, because I'm actually away next week, and I come back early hours on Friday morning.
Yeah.
So not that I'll be jet lagged, but I'll be tired, and I'll need to probably practice a bit on the Friday before they get to the gig. But no doubt my other half will have me doing the housework on Friday.
So will you be doing that on your own? That's just yourself doing that.
I did ask Dave and Dennis, but Dennis can't do it, and I'm not sure about Dave yet.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I will or I won't.
Okay. Well, I'll be there for that anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm.
Yeah, just got to work out what songs to do, really.
Okay. I was looking forward to that. Should be good. So, so looking ahead as well. I mean, you've finished the album. It's a long process. The album's out, and for people to get hold of that, they can get that from your website.
Yeah, there's a couple of places they can get it. You know, if people want to get it digitally, it's on all the usual digital platforms. Mm-hmm. You know, Amazon and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's available on Bandcamp and my website, which is www.johnjenkinsmusic.com.
Okay.
And with my website, you'll get and Bandcamp, you'll get a free download of it as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're the places to go. It's, okay. If people just want to listen to it, it's on Spotify now, I believe.
Okay.
So if people just want to dip into it, there's a couple of videos on YouTube.
Oh, the videos are great. I was going to chat to you about them. Yeah. They're really good. Yeah, I mean, playing with fire is it takes me back looking at that. It's like a proper when videos come out, the old style videos. It's like a little movie.
Yeah, the strange thing about that one was we actually filmed Looking for That American Dream about a month before that, mm-hmm. and the idea was to put Looking for That American Dream out. As a single, and Playing With Fire possibly as an EP, because there were some songs on the album which at the time I didn't want to put them on the album, to be honest. Mm-hmm. And I booked Brian Roberts, who's a lovely bloke, but he's a fabulous director. He's done Megan, he's done Mark, he's done Alan. Megan Louise,
yeah.
Mark Vumwa. I keep on
thinking. I know.
The pub here,
you know. I know, me and you. I know.
Alan O'Hare, Only Child.
Yeah.
He'd done only Two Black Sheep as well. So, you know, he's got a great track record.
Yeah.
And I had this idea of, the song is about this guy who's unfaithful to his wife and he's sort of, you know, he's a bit miserable kind of thing. So I had this idea of this guy sitting in the bar, sort of being honest and talking and saying, you know, singing the song.
Mm-hmm.
And the bar, people just coming in and just sort of, you know, ignoring him, and he's drinking and they're sort of having a good time. And then the only person that sort of picks up the instrument is Dave on the harmonica, who's sitting next to me. So we had this all scripted. We all sitting and stuff like that. Found a pub in Hoy Lake, the lake. They were great. And I told him, and he was happy with the idea.
Mm-hmm.
He loved the song. Done it from about like 10 o'clock on March the 17th, St. Paddy's Day, and mm-hmm. I got the video the same night.
Wow.
And it set all my plans out of sync. It was like, I haven't even got the other one, the first one we've done a month ago. So I thought, put it out as a taster for things to come, you know.
Yeah.
So, we're really pleased.
That looks good. It looks like a proper it's a little movie, you know.
Yeah.
It's black and white and... Yeah, it's they've done a good job on that. So did you script that yourself? Did you do how that was going to work out?
Yeah, I had the idea. I suggested, you know, I would just run. You know, someone behind the bar, one of the band behind the bar singing and stuff like that, you know.
That's good. Comes across well. It's really good.
I told everyone, come, you know, we need to sort of... I said, I'd be wearing, like, this cowboy hat. So think of something like American kind of thing, because sort of, you know, trying to project that little thing and... Dave Nixon turns up in this bloody, you know, your cap looked like something out of Only Fools and Horses.
Not Only Fools and Horses. Piggy Blinders.
No, the Last of the Summer Wine, you know, looks like he's just come off the dales, you know, after rallying his sheep in, you know.
Yeah.
So that sort of went out the window a little bit, you know.
He's got more hats than anything, Dave Nixon.
Oh, you know, I could tell you some stories about his hats.
That's funny, because when we were at Thornton Hough for the Christopher gig, Mike and I got in, and I think you guys were all still next door, and I had a walk around and I seen a hat on a chair. I thought, that's got to be David Nixon's, that. So I sent him a message and said, I've just sat on someone's hat. And he messaged me back and he said, there'll be murder. There'll be murder. Oh, he's very, very protective of his hats, isn't
he? Yeah, he paid a lot for that hat.
Did he?
He got five hats. I can't, should I say this?
Go on, grass him up.
No, he told me, in confidence.
Tell the world, John. Tell the world.
No, he got five hats and it was a lot of money.
Yeah,
I won't say how much.
Okay.
Yeah. But he loves his hats, you know.
I know. Yeah. Man with hats. You saw the picture of Papa of our Joe of a
all
over his Calvi hat. As soon as I saw that, I thought James Street Band. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're playing another song for us, John.
Yeah, I will do. Yeah, I'll do something which I've never played before.
Okay. Exclusive for Vintage Radio. There you go.
Yeah, no one's ever heard this one. I've started recording it in the studio. Practically, I think it's finished. Actually, it just needs mixing now.
Okay.
As you may know, I'm getting old. I'm my birthday next week.
We're all getting old. It's just a number, John.
I believe so. It feels like it as well. But I wrote the song, about 18 months ago. I think I wrote it around about the same time as some of the album stuff.
Okay.
But anyway, it's called Growing Old, anyway.
Okay.
I'm growing old. Nothing's gonna change that fact, I know. Whatever happened to the youthful me? The dark-haired guy you used to see. The mirror, it doesn't lie. But I'll ask myself, who is this guy? Staring back at me, the shadow of the man I used to be. And I don't like it, but I understand it. It's the way it has to be. And I can't fight it. It makes me frightened where it could lead me. Am I being such a fool? As the same thing will happen to you. I'm getting tired. Nothing I seem to do feels inspired. Whatever happened to the youthful me? The guy who once had so much energy. Got mixed up there. The guy who once had so much energy. Sorry, I told you I'd cock it off.
That's okay. That's the whole thing about life.
I don't like it. Sometimes I feel a need to thank it, 'cause I'm still here as you can see. And I must face it, but you know I really must face it. It's the way it has to be. Where would I be if I had my time over again? Would I still be me? I'm growing old. There you go.
There you go. Thank you, John. That's all well done. That was Growing Old, and so talking of growing old, this is your birthday next Wednesday? Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the chords, yeah. Have you even got them written down here? I totally ignored it.
That's all right, mate. All live. That's the best way, you know.
Yeah. I haven't played that one, so there you go.
Okay, that's exclusive to us. Thank you very much indeed. So, plans coming up wise. We know about a couple of the gigs and stuff you're doing, so you've still got some studio time. I know that you tend to be writing stuff all the time, because the thing that sticks out for me is when you sent me your album, Window Shopping in Nashville, a while ago, within 2 or 3 weeks you had an EP out with different. I'm thinking, wow, that already?
Yeah, so it's a bit sleight of hand, really, to be honest, because even like the new album, there's a few old songs on it, you know.
Yeah.
So, because I've only started really singing and recording in the last 4 or 5 years, I think, mm-hmm. maybe 4 years. I mean, I wrote songs in the 80s for the band, The Persuaders, that I was in.
Yeah, I was going to say, because for people who don't know, I mean, going back before you saw stuff, you know, your Liverpool history, The Persuaders and Come In Tokyo.
That's right, yeah, I was in Come In Tokyo first.
Yeah.
I didn't write any songs for Come In Tokyo, just played keyboards. Mm-hmm. And then me and John Gillan got our own band together, The Persuaders,
right.
Which went up to about 10 people, 11 people at one point. And he left halfway through the career of that band.
Yeah.
And it was great fun, writing for horn sections and stuff.
Yeah.
Writing for live stuff. You know, there was a lot of it was like purposely written for just sort of playing live, you know, mm-hmm. adding that sort of Stax beat and stuff like that, you know, Motown beat. Yeah, it was great fun, but there's a few songs there that I thought, well, yeah, I wouldn't mind doing, you know, that myself.
Yeah.
But obviously, you have to change it. Like, Playing With Fire was an old Persuaders song, but...
All right.
There's a video of the Persuaders doing it, and it's got, like, it's an up-tempo song with horn section on it, you know.
Wow.
With Siobhan from River City People, she was in our band.
Yeah.
Doing the girl part, and John Kennedy doing the male part. So there's...
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, I do write all the time. I mean, I love writing, and I'm writing for me now, which is different.
Yeah.
And I spend a lot of time doing it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I have conversations with people, and they say, "Oh, yeah, you're writing all these songs." And I say, "Well, how much time do you put in?" Mm-hmm. And they put an hour or two a week in, and I say, "Well, I do about 10 hours, you know."
Yeah.
So, you know, in 5 weeks' time, I've done a week.
Yeah.
3 or 5 weeks, you know, kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So just enjoy doing it, you know, really.
And it's good. I mean, I suppose, again, you know, we were talking about how ideas come about and stuff. I suppose it's... When I was talking to Cal when he was in a while ago, he said, you know, if you sit down and say, right, I'm going to write a song today, that's not how it works. I mean, if it's something will come to you, then you work on your song from there.
People are... You know, songwriters have different ways of doing it, you know.
Yeah.
You'll have some people who will write the lyrics first and try and put the music to it. You'll have people who just pick a guitar or go to a piano, mm-hmm. and they'll busk and they'll get a phrase and work around that, you know. It's there's no sort of way of actually doing it. It's not like you can go to school and...
There's no formula, is it?
However,
everyone's got their own ways of
you know,
doing
stuff. I feel fortunate because I'm able to actually... just pick a guitar or go to piano, and I can come up with a tune straight away, you know. Whether it's my tune or not, it's a different thing.
And
there's a story.
Do you know what? I was so tempted to look for that song. I thought, should I put that in the playlist?
No, I you know, I was totally, you know, no one's known what we're talking about except close friends, do they?
I know.
No, I shall tell a story.
Go on, tell us a story. Let us know.
There's, on the Trains album, there's a song called It's Raining. Right, okay.
Yeah.
And I had a mate who, my best mate, he passed away, unfortunately. And the day before his funeral, I was talking to my fiancée, Lynn, and I said, I'm sure there's a cassette tape of me and George, that was his name, singing a Beatles song from like the 70s. So I rummaged through all my boxes of cassettes and I found it. And I played it, and it was me and him singing out, you know, I Should Have Known Better.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just thought, I'll listen to the rest of the tape. And there was a track on it called It's Raining, which I was sort of, to me, I was writing the song. Mm-hmm. It was sort of an idea for the song. And I thought, oh, I like that. I think I'll finish that off. So I went on holiday, went to Bordeaux. I love writing when I'm away on holiday, sort of sitting outside mm-hmm. cafes and sort of, you know, watching the world go by. And I finished that one off. Took it to the studio, got John Lawton to produce it, got Amy in to sing on it as a duo,
mm-hmm.
put it out, got radio play, you know, a year goes by, you know, it's on the CD, blah blah, and I'm in a pub with an old mate of mine, John Asbridge, and one of his mates was in the pub, and John said to this guy, oh, John's in a band, you know. His mate was named George as well. George likes, you know, old sort of 60s songs. And I said, oh, there's a couple of tracks on my album like that. There's a song called That Girl's Gonna Make You Cry, and a song called It's Raining. And John Asbridge got out his phone and he sort of played It's Raining to this guy. And he looked at me and said, have you ever heard the Dart song It's Raining? And I said, hang on. So I got it on my phone, put it to my ears, and I thought, oh my God, what I'd done was back in 77 or 78 or something like that, was instead of me thinking I was writing a song, I was actually learning how to play this Dart song.
Yeah.
But, you know, it starts off the same, but yeah, then my version goes completely,
it's different,
completely different, you know. So I had to ring up, I had to go to PRS, well, I didn't have to, but I went to PRS and said, you know, I've made a mistake and changed the songwriting credits and stuff like that. Fortunately, the album's, there's no copies left of the album, so I'd have to reprint it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know? But I put a big note on my website and I've told everyone. Everyone was absolutely falling about laughing. every time I get in Dave Nixon's car...
Dave Nixon loves it, I know.
He'll put the Dart version of A Train on, like as if it's like, I've never heard that joke before, you know.
Oh, no, see, I'll see how
but
not
it can
that
happen.
Mean.
It can happen, you know.
Yeah. I know.
You know, there's only so many notes and those, you know.
Exactly. And that's why, I mean, the recent one was the Richard Ashcroft one with, was it the Rolling Stones?
Yeah.
He's only just started getting the royalties for Bittersweet Symphony because it sampled a Stone song and
yeah, well, that's
and
different.
All that. But it's
yeah,
different.
Yeah,
that,
because
but,
he directly went and...
But he went and done that. But like, there's nothing...
But you hear about it all the time. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm not up on stuff like Ed Sheeran and stuff like that. But,
yeah.
You know, there's a song that he's... Is it What Going On?
That's right, Robin yeah. Gay.
But the Ed Sheeran song got about 12 songwriters.
I know.
Something stupid like that.
I know.
And now, you know, Marvin Gaye's estate is trying to sue
I believe so.
The 12. And,
yeah.
You know, it's easy to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. It's, you know, if you... I mean, I write a lot of simple stuff and I write a lot of difficult stuff. But the simple stuff, it's could be three or four chords, you know.
Yeah.
And how many songs are written with three or four chords?
Exactly.
Loads of them.
Exactly. I know. Okay. Right, so we haven't got a lot of time left, John. So
okay.
I'm just gonna see if you can tell us if you can play one last song for us in a second. But just tell us what you've got planned now for the next few months. What's in the diary?
Right. Well, in terms of the band, we're playing Hoylake first on the 27th of July in the Lake Pub at 12:30.
That's where you done the video, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in the other room. In the in November the 15th. We've got a big show at the Big Room in Heswell.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, been there, it's good.
That was booked a while ago. So, got to sort that out.
Good.
I've asked people to guest on that one.
Good.
I think that's it for the band for now. I've got some solo stuff. As I said, Dean Owens a week today.
Yeah. That's 81 Renshaw.
Yeah. And I'm doing a radio broadcast like this, Southport Radio, the end of June. And this Gerard Dickinson support.
Good.
And I'm also studio.
Are you going to be back in studio as well?
I've got loads of studio dates. Basically, what happened was I booked tons and tons and tons of dates, thinking the album wouldn't be out till like later on, and we finished it. So I had all these dates, so it gave me the opportunity to go in and sort of work on some other stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if the invitation's still there, I promise to try and get down to Crosstown. I would love to come in and see what goes on in there because it looks great. And I know you've invited me a few times, and there was always something coming up. My job, I'm all over the place at the minute, and things are going to change in September because I'm going to have a more regular hours and that. So I'll try and get down and have a look. So anyway, if you would finish off with a live song for us, that would be great.
This is another new one. This is called Daniel White.
Okay.
I have played it before.
Yeah.
The inspiration behind this one was people in work. I actually, I've got a team in work, and they're all like in the 20s, and they're all saying, you know, what they were doing, and I was sitting there listening to them, going, I used to do that, and then I thought, blimey, I wonder if they remember, you know, if they thought I actually did that.
Yeah.
You know, because to them, I'm like the Al Gizzi,
the Al fella.
The Al fella kind of thing. And then I kept on thinking about when I was their age, and there's people in the office my age, did I, was
how
I
you
thinking
think, yeah.
about people, what they did in a you know, years before, mm-hmm. when they were younger and stuff like that. So this is about what, you know, a guy who is at a certain age and what he did with his life, but people don't realise it, you know.
Okay.
Daniel White looks at his window. Daniel White walks out the door. He never got to know his neighbor's names, but he suspected just like him, they were poor. Single bed's no larger than a tomb. And if only people could see the man he used to be. Brand new suits he once wore so tall. I guess time can make a change to us all. Daniel White once had a family. Daniel White fought in the war. He won a medal for bravery, but there's no one to talk about that anymore. And if only people could see
John Jenkins. That was Daniel White live on Vintage Radio, and I take it that will be on the next album or EP.
I don't know.
That's too good not to record, John.
No, I've got a couple of things where I've got stuff with band on, and I've got an acoustic sort of one, so there might be two things coming out.
Okay.
Well, at some point.
We'll look forward to that. I'd just like to thank you for coming into Vintage Radio this morning, and good luck with the album, and good luck with your gig next week.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I'll see you at Happy Birthday for next week as well. From all of us here at Vintage Radio.
21 again.
We won't say the number. It's only a number. It's a big number, but it's only a number. I try to keep her birthdays quiet these days. Anyway, thank you so much for coming into Vintage Radio, and thank you for Richard for video duties as well this morning.
Vintage Radio.
Can we still be? Can we still be? Can we still be friends? Strange whenever we're together, those moments that we shared, are they last forever? And my heart still skips a beat whenever you walk in that room. You once had me at your feet, but it ended much too soon. Can we still be friends? Is that much too ask for?
A little message just to let you know.
You're listening to Radio, Radio.
This is the Cliff Howarth Radio Show.
Yeah.
A little message just to let you know. You're listening to Vintage Radio.
Any opinions expressed here on the Radio, Radio Show are solely mine, and not necessarily those of Vintage Radio.
This is Vintage Radio.